Why I chose this lesson for us to understand the importance of God's revelation. You must remember that it is in the Bible that you are going to meet Jesus Christ. It is in the Bible that you are going to get to know the Almighty God. It is in the Bible that you are going to get acquainted with God's plan and purpose for your life. It is in the Bible that you are going to be told by the Holy Spirit and the inspired men who wrote the Bible how to become a Christian the Bible way, in the Bible. It is in the Bible you are going to learn how to worship God God's way. It is through the Bible you are going to learn that worship is not entertainment. Wait. It's when you get to know what the Bible teaches, you are going to realize that you don't come to church to be entertained. You come to church to give worship to the Almighty God. It's in the Bible you are going to understand that worship is regulated by the Almighty God. Wait, what does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It means you and I cannot worship God just the way we feel or the way we like. Wait. You come to church today and you feel you want to walk on the bench because you are in the Holy Spirit. When you get to know the contents of the Bible, you're going to realize that no, sir, and no, so I go. Bible said, whatever you do, let it be done decently and in order. It's in the Bible. You're going to be enlightened. It's important that you understand the Bible. The Bible contains 66 books. Wait. It is one book, but it contains 66 books. 39. In the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. The central or keynote of the Old Testament is preparation. Yes, the Bible is divided into Old and New Testament, I have just hinted. But the keynote, the central message of the Old Testament is preparation. Preparation, that is preparation of the Redeemer for the people and preparation of the people for the Redeemer. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The central point, the keynote of the New Testament is manifestation. The manifestation of the Redeemer in the person of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of the grace of God in or through Jesus Christ. Yes, thank God for the grace of God. Thank God that we are dealing with a gracious God. And somebody asks a question, Mr. Mitchell, what is the grace of God? It is the unmerited and undeserved favor of the Almighty God. You don't merit it and you don't deserve it. When you hear the Bible speaks about and Christian talk about the grace of God, is that you benefit from God by His grace, His kindness, His love towards you in Jesus Christ. But wait. Grace not just comes up. Run to the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Quick, brother. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
For the grace of God
that
bringeth salvation
God's grace brought salvation. Wait. What does that mean, Mr. Mitchell? It means it was God's kindness towards you and me that made the Almighty God send Jesus Christ to die at Calvary to pay the price for your sin and my sin. It wasn't any goodness in you or me. It was God's graciousness.
Amen.
The grace of God that brings salvation
appears to all men.
God's grace appears to you. It is available to you now. You can become a child of God now because of the grace of God.
Amen.
But watch here. It is telling us some more about grace.
Teaching us that.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what I hear? That God grace teaches.
Teaches.
That's right. It not just comes up. God's grace teaches. What does it teach?
Denying ungodliness.
Wait, that's what we call repentance. Are we all there?
Amen.
Wait, take time with my brother. God's grace teaches
denying ungodliness.
We should deny ungodliness
and worldly lusts.
We should deny worldly lusts. Wait. What does that? God's grace.
Amen.
Worldly lusts.
We should live soberly.
We should live not like we are intoxicated people. When a man or a woman live without Christ, you are living like you are drunk. That's right. What it says, denying godliness, etc., we must live how?
Soberly.
Wait, like your head is well screwed on.
Amen.
God's grace teaches us to be sober people. Wait. When you are sober and think right, you recognize that you need Jesus Christ and dry peas need fire. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's when you are sober. Yeah. When you are not sober, you go through life living in sin, in ungodliness, disobedience, and you believe everything is okay. Wait. When you are not sober, you go through life, watch here now, and you tell yourself, yes, if anything ever happened, at the last moment in my sick bed, I'll beg God for mercy. You forget that Jesus Christ has already told you that it won't work like that. Not everyone that saith unto me,
Lord,
shall enter. Just merely calling upon Jesus Christ at the last moment will not save us.
Amen.
Wait, are you asking me about the thief on the cross? You better not go there, sir. Because if you want to be saved like the thief on the cross, you'd have to crucify Jesus Christ again. You'd have to become a thief, and you'd have to have them crucify you. But Jesus Christ fixed that not everyone, that merely calling upon Jesus Christ won't save you. We're talking about the grace of God encourages us to be sober, to be rational people. We must live soberly, righteously,
and godly.
And godly in the world to come.
In this present world.
When?
In this present world.
That's what God's grace does. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Old Testament and the New Testament form a complete record or history of human sin and divine salvation in Jesus Christ. The Old and New Testament forms a complete record or history of human sin and God's salvation in Jesus Christ. the books, the 39 books of the Old Testament was written by at least 30 different writers. Over a period of some 1,200 years. The 27 New Testament books were written by about 8 different authors or writers over a period of about 50 years. When you and I go to the New Testament, the writing of those 27 books was written over a period of about 50 years. The Old Testament throughout emphasized the three necessary or important aspects of a divine Savior or Redeemer. Let me repeat that. The Old Testament throughout inform us of three essential qualities that the Savior, our Redeemer, must possess. The Redeemer must be a prophet. Jesus Christ was a prophet. The Redeemer must be a priest. That is, remember, I've just said what the Old Testament reveals is that the Redeemer must be a prophet to bring us God's message. The Redeemer must be a priest to bridge the gap created by sin. The gap created by sin placed God over there, and it placed man over here. You see, sin is what separates man and God. The Redeemer must be a priest that build the bridge so that sinful man can cross over on the bridge, the Savior, to get to God. Wait, let me just drop this by since I'm crossing that area. Did you know, visiting friends, that prayer is the privilege of a child of God? Somebody didn't hear me. Prayer is not a free-for-all thing. Let me just give you one or two passages. Let us run to the book of Isaiah. I think I need verse 59 and Isaiah 59 and verse 1 through verse 5. Quick, brother.
Behold. The Lord's hand is not shortened.
The Lord's hand is not shortened.
That it cannot save.
That it cannot save.
Neither his ear heavy.
God did not get hard of hearing.
That it cannot hear.
That he cannot hear.
But your iniquities.
Wait. What is wrong here, Brother Mitchell? Is that the Israelites were wondering how come God is not responding to our prayer? Why is he not hearing our prayer? Is it that God got hard of hearing impairment? Or is it that God hand get weak? God says, no, it's none of those. God is telling them the reason now.
But your iniquities,
that is your sin,
have separated between you and your God.
What it has done, brother? Brother, it has what?
Separated.
It placed God over here and man over here. Sin. That's what sin does. Sin hinders prayer. It separated between you and God that
and your sins have hid his face from you.
And your sin have hid his face from you.
That he will not
wait,
hear.
Wait. A sinner cannot just go to God so.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
because
right.
God is a holy God. And you see, we keep forgetting that. We think we can just run to God. God help me to win the pick three. Ladies and gentlemen, in the first place, that is gambling.
That's right.
And God will have none of that.
That's right.
If you are going to get some money, try to get it the honest way. Mm-hmm. So, prayer is not a free-for-all. Prayer is available in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's right. In Christ. That means you have to be in Christ. In fact, listen to this passage also on prayer. St. John 9:31. Quick. St. John 9:31. Now
we know that.
Start again, brother.
Now we know.
The brother is reading from the book of St. John chapter 9 verse 31. Now we know.
That God heareth not sinners.
Wait. Brother Cunningham, you'll notice that the speaker said, we know.
Amen.
We are not guessing. We are not imagining. We are not thinking. We know.
Amen.
Now, in fact, notice he used the plural, we know.
Amen.
And what he was implying, the rest of the Jews that were in that audience also know that.
Yes.
That God does not hear
sinners.
Sinners' prayer. Whom does he hear?
But if any man be a worshipper.
If any man be a worshipper of
God.
God
and doeth his will
and does the will of God,
him he heareth.
Are we all here?
That's right.
Remember, you didn't put that in the Bible and I didn't put it there. Mm-hmm. The Almighty God wanted that passage to be in the Bible. Where were you reading from, Mr. Mitchell? St. John
chapter
9 verse 31. And look here, if I speak and Brother Webb spoke tonight, anything that you'd like to sit down and talk to us, question us, see clarification, write down our number. Truly, we'll be glad to sit down with you and talk with you. If in case you phone here and no one answers, just leave a message on your number and we'll call you back. Wait, did you hear what God's word said? Now we know that God heareth not sinner, but if any man be a worshipper of God, him he heareth. Let me give you one more passage. You know, I'm a very kind person. I like to give brata. You know what brata is when you give that little extra. Yes, another passage is found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 12. Still on prayer. Let us hear it.
1 Peter.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 12.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For he that will love life.
Anyone who will love life.
And see good days.
And if you want to see good days,
let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil if you'd like to see good days with God's blessing.
And his lips.
And his lips.
That they speak no guile.
That is, that your lips speak no guile.
Let him eschew evil.
Let him eschew, that is, stay away from evil.
And do good. Let him seek peace.
Let him seek peace.
And ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord.
Watch here now. Prayer. For the eyes of the Lord.
Are over the righteous.
Are over whom?
The righteous.
Whom?
The righteous.
Over the righteous.
And his ears are open.
And God's ears are open.
Unto their prayers.
Unto their what?
prayers.
Their what?
Prayers.
But
the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
Everybody heard that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The face of the Almighty God is against the man and the woman who does evil.
Amen.
But God's ears is open to the prayer of the righteous. Prayer is not, you know, just go and talk to God's son. There are conditions. Your sin must be dealt with in Christ before God will be responsive to your prayer. So as I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, not only that the divine Savior must be a prophet, a priest, he must be a king. To rule over our lives for God. All three qualities are met in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christ is God's prophet to us. Christ is God's priest to us, whereby the gap that is created by sin, Jesus Christ fill that gap so that in Christ we can meet the Almighty God and have our sins dealt with. But not only that, look. The Bible teaches that we need a mediator. Why, Mr. Mitchell, this business about mediator? Because, again, because of our sinfulness and because of the holiness of God, we need somebody to whom we can go to God.
That's right.
Have you ever noticed, are you mindful that even in our prayer, we have to go through Christ?
That's right.
Well, the Bible tells us why. The Bible tells us that we have one mediator. Listen to the Bible and that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 6. Let us hear it.
And who will have all men to be saved?
The Almighty God wants all men and women to be saved. Very important, ladies and gentlemen, very important. You see, there is a falsehood out there that God made some people to go hell and he made some people to go heaven. And if you were made by God to go to hell, there's no way you can end up in heaven. And if you were made to go heaven, there's no way you can end up in hell. All that is false teaching from the devil. God wants all men to be saved. And you know what? The Almighty God has made provision in Jesus Christ so that all men and women who want to be saved can be saved. Look here, if you and I are lost eternally in the eternal hell, it's not because God made you to go hell. It's because you have chosen the path of disobedience and end up in the eternal hell. What you have just read?
Who will have all men to be saved?
God wants all men and women to be saved. Read on.
And to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
For there is one God.
There is one God
and one mediator.
And one mediator
between God and man.
Between God and man. And who is that mediator?
The man Christ Jesus.
The man Christ Jesus. There is one person who can speak to God on our behalf. And that is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. I cannot pray to Mary or to any other human being to help you get salvation. The one mediator that God has given us is Jesus Christ. And anybody ever come and tell you that it is Mary, they are fooling you. Are we all there? One last passage. There are more to be said, but let us, one or two last passage. And that is the scripture. Many people have different concepts about the Bible. Run with me to the passage of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Brother Webb, I'm going to ask Brother Cunningham to read it, and then I'm going to ask you to just pick up at those appropriate verse. Let us hear it. And that is the scripture, the Bible, the reverence and respect you should have for the Bible, and the fact that don't listen what people saying out there. The Bible is man-made book. And those foolishness. No, there is no book like the Bible.
Amen.
In the Bible, the Almighty God reveal himself and reveal his plan for your salvation and my salvation, for your eternal peace and my eternal peace. Let us hear what the inspired word of God says. Did I say 2 Peter?
No, 19.
Let us hear it. The brother is reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19.
Stop at 18.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy.
Whereunto ye do well.
Whereunto you do well.
That ye take heed.
Wait. What?
That ye take heed.
Everybody hear that? The inspired writer, Peter, is talking about God's inspired word. And it says, take heed. Don't ever treat God's word lightly. You do well to take heed. Read on.
As unto a light that shineth in a dark place.
The Bible is like a light that shines into a dark place.
Until the day dawn.
Until the day dawn.
And the day star arise in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Knowing this first.
Knowing this first.
That no prophecy of the scripture.
No prophecy of the scripture.
Is of any private interpretation.
Ladies and gentlemen. Brother Webb, read some of what that means in modern language.
Private interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be interpreted in one's own mind.
No scripture is to be interpreted in one's own mind.
Is the subject of private interpretation.
No scripture is the subject of private interpretation.
Is a matter of one's own interpretation.
No scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation.
Arose from an individual's interpretation of truth.
No scripture came about from an individual's own idea. That is, when you read the Bible, never tell yourself it is man. No, the Bible is from God. And that's what that passage is saying.
Was ever thought up by the prophet himself.
What that is saying, the prophet didn't just let his imagination lead him away. The prophet wrote what God directed him to write. The inspired apostle of the New Testament wrote as they were directed by the Holy Spirit. So when you read this Bible, don't treat it like it is a man-made book. It is not. It is God's book with God's message for you. And as we close, let us hear John chapter 12, verse 48. And Romans 2:16. We're going to close with those two passages. Read aloud for me. John 12:48.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words
and does not receive my word
hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Jesus Christ is telling us that his word, as we have it in the New Testament, is what going to, in fact, it is judging us now. And on that final judgment, it's the same word you read of in the gospel of Christ going to judge us. Listen, one more passage on the same point. Romans chapter 2, verse 16.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
In the day when the Almighty God going to judge the secret of men.
By Jesus Christ,
Paul says, according to my gospel. Amen. We are going to be judged by the gospel of Christ. In fact, we are being judged right now as we go through life. And we are going to be finally judged by the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraging you to respect the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you want to know the will of God, depend on the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. If you want to know how to worship God, how to please God, how to live a life that brings you in fellowship with God, go to the Bible. You can depend on the Bible because it is God's message for you. Mm-hmm. And be mindful again that our telephone number, any point that was touched on tonight by any of us that you'd like some clarification, you'd like to question us or to ask questions, just phone. If no one answers, just leave your number and a message and we will arrange to meet with you, sit down with you and talk with you. Let us see you back in our worship this coming Sunday when you will hear an inspiring message from the Word of God. In the meantime, may the Almighty God guide and keep and give you direction. Thank you.